Hey guys, welcome in. Sean Salisbury here. It is Unpaved. It's a Monday and I am pumped. Adam Sager along. Well, Sags, before we get to Coach JB, Triple E's here. Laura, we say behind the scenes, but she's kicking ass for us as she always does in our production part. And Sags is here. Coach JB at the real coach underscore JB will join us in a second for his regular Monday visit. And I'd imagine there'll be a little passion coming out of his mouth today. Sags, real quick. Were you shocked that Michigan got physically manhandled by my Trojans? Oh, should I wait for that?
I was.
I was too, in true sense.
Congrats to them. I mean, yeah, they played awesome. They came out and they kicked ass in both sides of the lines. And the running back who went nuts, Wilson, is it the backup that came in, just went crazy?
Backup my ass, right?
Yeah, USC did everything that they needed to do in that game to prove themselves as a team. I think that Illinois loss, you kind of go back and look at and you think, okay, I don't think that they're that team anymore. I feel like they've kind of turned that.
It was a wake-up call, Sage.
So, yes. And Maiava is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I mean, Mekhi Lemon is arguably, I mean, I know you have Jeremiah Smith and others.
Yes. Yes.
Someone pointed out that he is exact replica of Amon-Ra St. Brown, the way he plays, that kind of fits. So there's a lot to like out there in LA, and Michigan didn't show up. They continue to not let Bryce Underwood do what he does best. And it's just, and then losing Justice Haynes hurts. I know Jordan Marshall was good, but when you lose your top back, who's the top back in the Big Ten so far this season, it hurt. It should be a wake-up call for Sharon Moore and company.
No doubt. Stags and joking because we had a little fun side bit. But
I was shocked by the way USC came out and just manhandled them.
Stags, I got it. And we'll hit this in probably a lot tomorrow. I'm going to get to JB, but real quick, that's the best physical performance. I'm not talking about physical where they're throwing the ball. I'm talking about guts, body blows, toughness that I've seen in over a decade from USC. I talked to a couple of my former player alumni buddies today and almost taken aback. Not that they're not talented. That's the first time they won, and the quarterback talented. That's the first time they won, Sags, where they said, you want a fist fight? We're going to bring it to your ass. And it's not a quarter fist fight, not a half fist fight. It was a full-blown knockout shot.
Yes.
And they did it, hit body blows to a team that is not used to getting beat that way. And they did everything right. Sans, the one mistake that Maiava made on the stupid throw down there in the red zone, that he was able to overcome. The physicality of USC looked like, and I don't mean this, you know, old school, but it looked like when my team played six, we'd line it up. We could tell you what we were going to run. You know, they were running that trade, that counter, and getting up and sealing off the inside zone and sealing off the backside and the patient running. They had on a hat. It was as sound a performance all around on both sides of the ball that I've seen SC have in over a decade. I'm just telling you, forget all the pomp and circumstance, pretty stuff. And I know without not having Justice in there, but it was the day's exit, probably, quite frankly, it might not have mattered who the Michigan running back was, because on both sides of the ball, the line of scrimmage was SC's. And I was shocked that it was that dominant against Michigan, because you know my respect for your school, but – this told me that USC belongs now, Sags. And like you mentioned, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
While everybody gets more pub, there's no tougher, better game-to-game, play-to-play receiver in America than him. They're just not. Yeah.
So you could have switched uniforms and told me that was – and I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. Great. That's how Michigan's looked over the last, you know, since the Harbaugh era. But I will say, Sharon Moore better not dick around too much with this team and with Underwood. Or he could be – the boosters won't sit and watch him continue a downward – after what they did last season with the quarterback position and everything. Don't be shocked if Sharon Moore's name doesn't start getting thrown around if they struggle towards the end of this season.
$12 million for your quarterback base. You know what I'm talking about with NIL. Mm-hmm. And with his dynamic, he made a sidearm throw to a guy on an over route. He scrambled right.
His arm's insane.
His arm is like six Russian cosmonauts in a micrometer. I don't know what that means. I just know it's powerful. But SC knew they were facing and they limited him, which, quite frankly, the help of the limitation was the way they were calling plays offensively. You're Michigan. So we'll get to that, Sags. Even if not today, we will pound it tomorrow, because there's so much going on NFL and big picture-wise. Yeah. We'd have to do a four-hour show. We don't want to do that, but it was an impressive victory by SC, and we had a couple of them over the weekend. that looked different. And we had a couple like Penn State. We'll get to Coach JB now. Now at the real coach underscore JB. Segs will be back here in a few minutes. We'll get JB on now. To come in and chime in. And real quick, you know, JB, you're right there in the backyard. You know my Trojans. We've been really pretty with offense and Caleb and Heisman Trophy winners and finesse you to death. That was the most impressive. I'm even going back to Oklahoma. The most impressive coaching commitment and dominance and physical dominance. I'm talking about at SC. We've had in over a decade, JB. We don't – the line of scrimmage looked different for me.
Really?
Offensive defense. Oh, it's not really. It's a fact. Oh. I'm not talking about the quarterbacks better than Caleb. But we have not had physical domination in the run game and stopping the teams that were more physically dominant than us. It's been a decade since we had that impressive a physical showing. Now, who knows where it's going to lead, but that looked more like my buddies that I played with and that I talked to over the weekend. That's how USC wants it to look, and it was an impressive win, one of the more impressive they've had in a decade.
And all that just to look worse than UCLA?
Well, if SC plays UCLA on the weekend, brother, we're kicking their ass, trust me.
Hey, so if UCLA goes on a run, if UCLA goes on and wins out, what – is Noel Mazzoni going to get a job? And
He should. Noel should already have a job.
I thought our old asses couldn't coach, though.
Oh, yeah. What a shock, right? It's amazing what a veteran coupled with a guy who's new had to teach him how to call plays. I'm so happy for Neuheisel and for Noel. I am. But don't start bringing UCLA into this, Tom. You getting giving SC a compliment on
so
that.
You're telling – well, I still think SC looks shitty. Here's my
thing. I'm talking about Saturday. They didn't look shitty at the domination of the line of scrimmage.
Maybe.
Did you see the numbers or running the balance?
Oh, yeah. And that was backup, like second, third string backs. They just were finding holes. I don't know. I'm not sold on Michigan either. But here's the thing. Lincoln scares me any big game, though, because he'll score so fast. Like, you know what I mean? He'll score so fast because he's so good. He doesn't understand the macro level of the head coaching position is to keep my defense off the football field, and that's cost him. Last year against the three M's, Michigan, Minnesota, and Maryland, SC gave up those games on the road, should have never lost those games because he scored so fast.
But did he learn in this one, at least for one game?
But in Illinois, I saw the same Lincoln, though. That Lincoln comes back, though.
You need three more games of this to prove that this is a trend. Dominating the line.
You got a doozy. You got a doozy coming up. You got to beat Notre Dame because I believe this is a playoff or bust game.
Okay, they beat Notre Dame just like they did Michigan. Physical at the line of scrimmage and really good quarterback play. Will you say Lincoln's turned a corner on how to handle a team, or are you just going to say his DNA says this is temporary? Which one is it?
I still think he's temporary as a head coach because of I think he's a great offensive guy, and I think he's – I would love to – I wish he was Nick Saban's OC for a year. Just like Sark and Lane and all them guys, because they learn how to be head coaches.
With them.
You learn how to be head coaches at that time. Like, that's my – I don't think he ever had to – you know what I mean?
You're saying.
You think he would learn under Stoops a little bit, and I don't know if he did because I think he was so macro-focused on offense because he didn't have to do anything.
And trying to get a head job at the time, right? Yeah.
And Stoops handled the day-to-day, and I don't believe he cared about the day-to-day at that time as a young play caller. Now you're the head coach, and now you have to care about the day-to-day. And the day-to-day, Sean, and you and I understand, but other people may not. It's study hall, grades, classes, collectives, NIL now.
Well, what kind of food we're serving in the building and on a plane flight and what we're wearing.
Hell yeah,
now.
Girlfriend, baby mama pregnant, and kid getting to call 2 in the morning. Yeah.
You know, like balls deep, you know, those kind of things, right?
My balls in your jaws, and, you know, my baby mama's pregnant, and I have a DUI, and I got a coach.
Look at all this negative stuff. See, I'm trying to focus on, we dominate a lot of scrimmage. You got guys banging, bringing mom babies to the forefront. You got Lincoln now still stuck in Bob Stoops' time. Can we just do one favor for me? Let me bask in this, because you know our guy Noel, I couldn't be more proud of him at UCLA. I really couldn't, even though they're a rival. But can you just give me the one game analysis thinking that, can you let me love something I haven't seen in 10 years or more?
I hear
you. I know Michigan may not be the Michigan you like, but at least they built, going in, the perception was physical versus finesse. And as Seg said, you can reverse. And if you would have put SC in Michigan's uniform, that would have felt like that's who Michigan was. So I know you're right. Notre Dame, we got to do some proving over the – and show it's a trend that you're changing. But you do beg the question, JB, that is spot on, is are you who you are? As you know, how he grew up in that, spread him out, let's go. But maybe, just maybe, the learning curve has hit him. But we've got to see more of it. But just for one Saturday, it was as impressive, regardless of the opponent, was at least their approach, JB, where it wasn't a passing fancy. It wasn't 38-35 and we got one late touchdown or late field goal. At least we knew the domination at the line of scrimmage was pretty impressive over a – it's really hard, regardless of who Michigan is, to dominate them because that's where they live. So I'll take it while I can get it, my man, right?
Yeah, now you got to be optimistic, though, man. We don't want to see – we want to see good football. In L.A., the rivalry between UCLA and SC in L.A. is always – it was a childhood rivalry that we all woke up to and had barbecues over and everything else.
Yeah, we played against the same guys in high school. They were our buddies, and then we go play against them in college, or teammates for that matter.
And I didn't want to see an absolute mollywop like we've seen over the last few years, even though UCLA got them a couple years ago. Now, hopefully, it's trending that it'll be a good game again, at least.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right.
At least some sort of decent game. I know you don't want to hear that, but at least for the fans.
Oh,
that
I do. I think
but it's – you know what I mean? It's not that aren't partial. Like, you played there, Sean. You should be pro SC. I'm just saying, like, for the fan, hopefully it's not just a fucking 60-point mollywop.
JB, in truth, even now, as a guy who played there and been in that rivalry for five, you know, saw it every year and played in it. For me, as a fan, even though I'm a Trojan, you know my respect for Noel and that. And when they're not playing us, I root for – the truth is I'd rather have a 27-24 game, JB, even as a fan, than I would 55-10 where the party – we're barbecuing at your crib and all of a sudden it sucks after we went to the tailgate because the game's over in the middle of the second quarter. So I'm with you, which leads to mollywop, JB. Too soon, too late, right timing for James Franklin.
Careful what you ask for.
You're ahead. That's what I'm saying. They've won a lot of games there, just not the biggest ones by any stretch of the imagination. You've been a head coach. You know how quick knee-jerk we are. Is this knee-jerk? Could it have come sooner or should it have come later? Is it a mistake during the season to fire James Franklin at 50-plus million still to come, right? Or 60 million, whatever it is. It
seems 65. Like Oregon got him fired. All the new. Here's the thing. I heard from an inside source, a buddy of mine that has the ears on the ground there in Happy Valley, that they had this meeting Saturday night, Chancellor and involved and everybody, and they brought up last year's playoff run. And then they looked at the opponents of the run, and then they said, damn, we beat Boise and SMU. We couldn't have had an easier path towards a semifinalist. And that's what they, at the end of the day, they said he still ain't beat nobody, Sean. That is what, in summation, it came down to. That's how crazy the world we live in college football. You can pay a guy $56 million today to leave and then hire another guy who's going to want more than that. Because if you're going to go higher,
it's Penn State. You got to pay when you get that job. There, no doubt.
And I've known James a long time, a good friend of mine. And, you know, listen, I'm a James Franklin guy. I like James. But you can't go 1-14.
Well, he's a good guy. You just got to win the big ones. And if you can't, Boise and SMU are a clear path for you. You've got to find a way to get to another step. I guess. I don't like to see it, but yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it got curb stomped.
And then you lose to UCLA and you lose to Northwestern. You can't do those. And here's the problem, though. I don't blame him. I don't blame the coaches. I think the coaches are handcuffed. I think this is we're ruining we've feminized the game so badly, in my opinion, that I don't know if you can ever get it back. This NIL era transfer portals have clearly ruined the sport that I loved.
You think it's too much pussy involved? I mean, when I say that, pussified the when you're saying that, it's all about optics as opposed to substance, is what you're saying for you.
And it's ruined it's ruining the reputations and harming the future. It's ruining the coach's reputation, and then it's harming the future of these kids who
and future coaches too, right, JB?
No doubt. Unless you buy into it, right? In my opinion, like, we're raising pussies. We're raising boys not to be men anymore. We're raising boys to get their way. So that means
go through adversity, right? Saying to get kicked in the teeth, right?
You and I growing up saying, I want the candy. And then she smacks you across the mouth and said, stop asking me about fucking candy. And we just said, all right, we ate it. And nowadays, the guys are giving the candy to these kids every single day without
the kid will go move in with the kid will go move in with a friend and leave their parents hanging because they didn't get the candy they wanted.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen Sean over the weekend, but I started my show with this whole thing because I have a macro take on it all. there was a guy, a high school guy who's won a couple state titles, walked in and resigned, said, get me the fuck out of here. Him and his dad was the D coordinator for him, getting death threats from parents. Now, remind you, this guy's two-time state title champ. Death threats from parents for playing time. The kids are super disrespectful and rude, so that he benched these kids, and then the kids' parents came at him again, and then he benched some players again for being rude and disrespectful, and then there was they graffitied the guy's house. I mean, come on, man! Like, you got to be shitting me. It starts at the household, and if the parents are just an older version of these babies, then we got a major problem.
They're the ones raising them.
It's no doubt. But that's in summation, that's what's ruined. That's what we are right now. We are in a world where these guys are getting money, and now we've created a hybrid college NFL. Which one is which? Are they pros in college or not? Are they
professional? Take the names off the jerseys and the colors off the jerseys. You wouldn't know the difference right now, JB.
And then they give me. I can leave if I don't like it. I can transfer four times. I can do whatever I want. You can't tell me shit. The disrespect's at all-time high. We used to say, hey, we honored our military, our police, our parents, our coaches, anyone that was ahead of. Not anymore. You can get fucked is what these kids are telling you as grown men now. And it's ridiculous. We can't get we're not going to get the pace back in the tube here.
You know what the coach probably did? I don't know the coach that resigned, JB. I saw the story. But you know what? For me, you get to a point where it's like, if I don't resign, I'm going to punch these kids right in their friggin' throat. Then I'm going to get in trouble. So I got to walk because I'm not coaching or teaching. Yeah. I'm not going to babysit it. Well, that's what I mean. The kid, the parent, the kid where the kid, the dad comes over and wants to fight you because you're not playing his kid or he didn't. It's like, dude, you know what? That's not going to end well for you. So
you wonder why there's a referee shortage? You wonder why there's quality coaches shortage? You wonder why there's youth pop Warner kids?
Repping for a snow cone? Yeah, hell no.
Young kids, just to get yelled and cussed at and shot at by these fucking weirdo parents and shit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
For $50, when they get $50 a game?
No, hell no. It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it. Yeah. Umpires, the high school umpire, give me a snow cone and that's what you get in $2.50. Who's the best college team in the country right now?
Miami.
We thought Oregon. Miami's physical too, and their quarterback's
now
playing
question
well.
In Oregon. Is Oregon even any good at all?
Right.
So you struggle against Penn State. You get by Penn State, who now is fired their coach 16 days ago. Penn State was what, number two in the country. 16 days ago from today, they were number two in the country. They fired their coach. Oregon goes and beats them in double overtime. And since now, are we questioning Oregon? Are they legit? Okay. I mean, Indiana goes there and beats them in Austin at Austin Stadium.
Two things. Did you see two teams? Let me ask you this, just from the eye test, JB, not stats, not history of the program, legacy. Indiana, also Southern Cal, maybe Ole Miss. I don't know. Who am I leaving out? Is Alabama starting to show you something? Who's the second best team in the country, eye test wise?
Ohio State.
A&M?
Ohio State.
Hey, we leave. I kind of put – that's not fair, JB. I put Ohio State and Miami in the one category, okay? To me, that's like they're the outlier. I know them in Miami. Right now, if you had to play a national title, it's those two, and it's, quite frankly, unequivocally in my mind, those two. So give me the next two teams that aren't the obvious ones. Who is it?
I don't know. Right now, A&M's playing well. Ole Miss is undefeated, but they struggled against Wazoo. To me, you can't have that hiccup.
It felt like a sigh of, oh, we're playing Wazoo, we're kicking their ass type of game, which you can't
have. At least they're a big school. Like, they may not be as the Wazoo of Mike Leach, but at least they're a big school. At least Ole Miss didn't go play fucking, you know, Kent State or something.
Right, right.
So, no shot at them, but I'm just saying, like, at least they played a Power 4 program. And then
Bama's playing well. Pretty impressive, right? And their quarterback's
Bama's playing well. A&M's playing well. Ole Miss, I don't know, man. LSU, are they still talented enough? They just can't. I'm not sold.
Their offense has struggled all year long. A little better this weekend, but I got to get more from that offensive production on them.
I know who it's not. North Carolina.
Dude, we got 3-hour show.
Fucking ruin his legacy. He could fuck around and ruin his legacy. I don't know.
We'll do a 3-hour documentary show where it's just on one guy and how 180 degrees different from who he was when they were winning in New England. It's, to me, it's one of the great fall off transformations the wrong way I've ever seen.
30 for 30 got to come out instantly.
Tomorrow. Friggin' tomorrow.
Oh, it's bad.
I'm going to do my own thing. You and I, we're going to do our own 30 for 30 right here on Unpaved. All right. Let me get to one last. Anything different about our – I taped the game. I'm going to go back and rewatch. I watched all of it, JB, over the weekend. I'm going to go back and watch him. I saw a more confident, decisive quarterback. Has he taken the next step in Arch? At least was impressive enough, or is it just – who is he? Who's Arch Manning right now, starting quarterback at Texas?
Overrated guy that I said the whole time. Like, I don't know what we're seeing here. I don't see the high. I think Sark missed, and Sark's a great friend of mine. I think Sark missed on this one, and I think there's no, he can't renege and go backwards now.
No, he absolutely can't because of the commitment from the Manning family not to transfer and all that.
Well, and you're a Manning. Like, he's not going backwards, so I don't think he can go backwards.
But is he going forward? Are they going forward?
No. Listen, their defense shut down a Mateer that should have not been rushed back, in my opinion. I think that was a
mistake. He wasn't ready to play.
And listen, man, I'm not sold. What did he do?
He made a couple of good plays in the second half, but they felt like they gave him some latitude with his legs. I get what you mean. He made a couple of throws and good decisions that he has not made. He looked a little less rigid. I just thought he was more decisive with the football. I still got – on this show last week, I said, listen, it's hard because I love the Manning family, but if we're being fair and broke him down, mechanics, he's still not solid mechanically right now, JB, on a clean pocket. And everything, he's not an aim small, miss small mentality. He's got ability to make some really good throws. You saw one, he scrambled to his right through a comeback on the sideline early, like in the second quarter, maybe third quarter. But the consistency of it's got to improve. There's no doubt. But he played better. He played
against
UTEP.
He was 11 of 25. Oh, it was 114 yards against UTEP. And then he has an 18 for 21, 300-yard game against Sam Houston State, and he's walking around talking shit. And I'm like, I lost respect right there because you act like – and then the next week I said, let me see you do what you did on Sam Houston against Florida, and you get beat. And then last night or Saturday, he threw for 160 yards. The guy's not – we're not – I'm not sitting there looking at this guy like, all right, this guy's the next Tom Brady.
He played better, but he's got a long way to go because he's not ready for Sundays, let alone –
No, and if he don't get the opportunistic ball placement of – meaning flipping the field after great defense on Texas's part to get him short field opportunities, if he don't have those three picks by Mateer, does Texas win, A, and does Arch Manning do what he did – because of the short field. Did Arch go 90 yards? Did you see him really just, okay, I know that I'm comfortable. He's dominating.
You mean surgically dominate a game? Not yet. Still haven't seen it all year long as far as surgically, but he did play better, which helped because I had Oklahoma winning the game, but it was obvious Mateer wasn't the Mateer. Let me switch to the NFL, JB. Can the Jets coach?
No, they're the worst team I've ever seen. This is the thing I said. I said it 4 weeks ago. I took a lot of heat because I said Aaron Glenn is the worst head football coach I've ever seen. And I'm not going to knock shit. I just said back in the day, though, he was a bad D coordinator in Detroit. But nobody wanted to hear that. My eyes work when it comes to this
football. You say that you think their offense covered up the defense in Detroit is what you're saying.
Oh, there's no doubt. And then and I know who the OC is in New York right now, Sean. I'm just going to be honest. He's a San Diego guy. He was a Grossmont JUCO when I was at Chaffey coaching against him. Not a very good coach. And now he's your OC in the NFL. Guess why? Because he was a young guy in Detroit, and I believe he knew Ben Johnson. Aaron Glenn got to see him work, probably did great analytical stuff, and now he's a first-year play caller. And the problem I have is if you're going to be a defensive-oriented head coach or an offensive-oriented head coach, whatever side of the ball you are on, you better be good on the other side, meaning higher
veteran.
Yeah. Why would you go hire as a first-time head coach, hire a first-time OC with a young Justin Fields? Make it make sense. Like, why would you do that? Like, this guy threw for 43 yards yesterday in the NFL, minus 10 yards in the second half. What are we doing? And I'm just not talking Justin Fields in the offense. I've watched the Jets particularly every game this year because my former player, Jermaine Johnson, is a first rounder and he's their defensive end. and I watch him specifically, so I've seen nothing but Jet games this year. It's the worst managed, coach, disciplined. I can just keep going on. I mean, they got punt returners backing up to off the 10-yard line, catching the ball at the one. They got fucking guys fumbling every special teams possible. Their special teams is horrific. When you're a defensive head coach, you're usually focused on special teams and defense, right? Offensive head coaches are usually focused on offense and either PAT or field goal on that side of special teams or some sort of kickoff return game. Defensive head coaches usually worried about punt block, punt return. All those things are
and winning 17-14, right?
What kind of team? What are we watching here? Listen, 4 weeks ago I said I don't think he makes it through the year. I don't know how you can when you're this bad. But now I'm looking at 0-17, square bad in the face, aren't you?
And you know what? When I watch that offense, JB, I'm going to move on here. Oh. When I watch the offense, honest to God, first they make you throw up in your mouth. I watched it this weekend and I said, you know what? You know where that offense belongs? On your Saturday mornings, Pop Warner having coffee with the parents in their lawn chairs. I'm dead serious. This is going to sound awful. You and I can walk out of this studio today, and I would have had more than 50 yards passing calling plays for them. I don't want to just put it on one person. That team is so lost and so ill-prepared offensively. It is as brutal a watch as I've seen in a long time.
Not to take a shot at another alum of yours, but goddamn, Mark Sanchez could have came out of there with a sling and threw for 12 yards.
So Mark Sanchez would have thrown for 200.
I'm talking about
in a sling, in street clothes. Yes.
Right out of getting booked yesterday.
Yes. It's a bad watch. All right, Tua. JB, you and I are strong locker room guys. And if you're going to call them out, it better be you better let them know first that you're calling them out. And he obviously put his name on it because he did it in a presser. Is this an I confess he did it situation, and does he immediately lose this team?
He already been lost the team.
But from a personal and respect, I'm not even talking about the production. I'm talking about, has there been too many hints of Tua being an I confess is somebody else's fault deal?
Yeah, I get female crybaby ass bitching moaning vibes. Like, being a pro
fits the head coach right now the way they're teaching it, right? I mean, the softness of it.
And by the way, don't throw your head coach under the bus now. You wanted him.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? You didn't want Flores because he yelled at you. It's like being a pro, Sean, that you can tell me if I'm incorrect here. You were a pro. I was on a practice squad, never really got to a game. You made it, you played it. Being a pro means either, well, you have a standard that you have to hold yourself accountable to, correct?
On and off the field, absolutely, and in the locker room.
And so, which is to lead by example and not to blame someone else, correct?
Absolutely. Better to be seen and than heard, right, when it comes to that.
So, to me, your lack of professionalism here in this situation, which is to choose not to lead by example and to blame others, is a bitch ass cop out. That's my personal opinion on this. Like, you are using that's a bitch ass cop out for a leader that has a C on your chest that just got paid $55 million after crying and bitching and moaning about not being paid. You got the money. You wanted your head coach, offensive minded guy, and you can't get the ball to Waddle. You can't get the ball to anybody involved on that offense. You weren't even getting the ball to Tyreek Hill. And now you're stuck there and yet to win on the road in cold weather. Like, you know, to me, that screams femininity.
Yep. JB, you know what it also tells me? I know you believe in this, and we haven't even had this conversation, but I know you agree with me. As a former quarterback, you yourself as well, and a coach. When I'm under center and my center, you know, has to reach down by the goal line and you're under center, and the ball laid on the ground, or any time the ball's laid on the ground, you don't come out of there blaming it on the center. It's on me. Always has been. Even if everybody on the team knows the center short snapped you or hit the outside of the palm, ends up on the ground. When you come out of that and somebody in the press conference says, whose fault was it? You say, that's my fault. In this situation with Tua, it applies in a much bigger way. I understand those stuff need to be taken in care of. You know, guys that are late, that needs to be taken care of in-house. If the coach wants to call him out, let him do it. Your job is to do that behind closed doors, stare them down in a meeting room, show up, talk it, and then go perform it, because there's got to be a lot of we's instead of they. And that was a they comment instead of we. And if you're going to do that, you better be Marino, where you're doing your thing and the rest of them aren't. He ain't Marino. And as much as I, you know, admire Tua's toughness after what he's been through, this is the quickest way. The quickest way to gain a team is to take blame when it's not your fault and make sure they all know you got their back. That's the number one priority of a quarterback in a locker room, regardless of team leader. You accountable behind closed doors and make sure they know it. But you are basically the mouthpiece, and you need to – it's a we thing and an I thing. I got to get better. I got to fix it. And all the stuff not showing up for meetings, that's for the organization to take care of. It's not your job. You're not the CEO. You're not the boss. You've got somebody that is your the guy you report to. You take care of that behind closed doors and deal with the ramifications with your own team privately and doing that. You always stand up in front of a team, and it's a pound your chest. It's a we. That was too much they. And he's not in a position. He hasn't done enough in this league to prove it's a they thing. And even if he did, guess what? You know what Mahomes isn't doing? He's not theying them when things are going bad. And he's had an opportunity to they him with their offense earlier this season, and he didn't. So
when have you ever heard a guy take the podium, though? When have you ever seen a guy take the podium that actually mimics the head coach? Usually it was the head coach. If Mike Tomlin got out there and said, he's going to get on the podium and say, you know what? I got to be better.
Of course.
I got to get our team better.
My coach has got to be better. That's right. We all do.
And every time I lost as a head coach, I was fucking embarrassed myself, because at the end of the day, I'm not sitting up here and saying, you know what? Sean missed a goddamn hitch ball. We would have won the game.
Right.
Never got this. In my mind, you and I go back to the meeting room and they're like, fuck, man, if you hit these throws, I don't look like an idiot. But
yeah, but you're also, but I'm grown enough man to say, you know what? I can't miss that throw. You're exactly right. But we do it behind closed doors.
But I didn't get on the podium and sit here and say, well, our leadership's shitty. And like, why you threw three picks, Tua?
Yeah, Tua's lost the respect of a lot. Forget profiles. I'll go back, as I've said. Dan Fouts told me a long time ago before a game, leadership is not basically throwing for 400 yards. Leadership is getting the shit kicked out of you in the pocket and delivering the ball. That's how you gain players. Players don't care about your stats.
No.
They care about their own when they want to get paid. But when they're quarterback, they care about, do you have my back and will you protect me in the good times and the tough times? This leads me to my final question for today.
John, leaders create more leaders, not followers.
There's no question. There's absolutely no question about it. And leaders don't tell you, they show you. Okay, that's exactly what they do. Instead of being in the back saying, hey, man, get in there and catch that fish, they run you in there. They dive in and catch the catfish with their damn bare hands and bring it out, even if they're cut up. That's what you do. And it sounds cheesy, but it's just a fact. The best leaders I've been on will fight for you, not fight against you. And then they'll take care of the stuff, the hard stuff behind closed doors. If that means a fist fight or a yelling and screaming match, oh, well, but you do that behind closed doors. You don't air that laundry, just like you don't air your parent, your parents or your family or you and your wife or whatever it is. You keep that in-house and you handle that, because good leaders, the ability to shut up when it's time, and Tua needs to put a friggin' muzzle on it and perform better, because now it's a, oh, okay, that's how it's going to be? Because I got news. I've seen players that the lay block and, oh, okay, Tua doesn't believe in us? Yeah. Well, let's see how he does in this A-gap blitz. I'm telling you, it does happen. My final question, did we underrate the Kansas City Chiefs the last 4 weeks? Have we underrated them? Are they back? Who are they?
Well, they just lost last week, so I don't know.
Against a pretty good team, though, right?
Yeah. I think last night's performance against a good Detroit team, who had won, what, 4 or 5 in a row, we were like, okay, is Detroit back and blah, blah, blah. You know, you got two questions now. Are the Chiefs getting healthy? They're going to get Rashee Rice back next week. Are they back to what we thought the Chargers were supposed to be this year after beating them week 1? Now you're questioning, is this the Chiefs division again? Because after that beatdown last night, I don't think Detroit was ever in that game. And Spagnuolo showed who he was versus a rookie, wet behind the ears OC in Detroit. And to my point is, and Eric Weddle, who was on my show,
man,
today,
goes back to your Jets talk, JB. Goes back to your Jets stuff.
There's levels to this coaching thing, and you saw it last night with Spagnuolo against a rookie play caller, and I think that kid will learn, because he's a good one. He's not the same guy that the Jets have, obviously. He's a good one, but it's going to be interesting. Is Detroit now on the watch block now after that performance?
And had him as a top 3 team in the league going. This league shifts every single week, JB.
Yeah, and now are the Chiefs serious again? We'll see. I mean, because the defense is still, you know, Chris Jones got hurt last night a little bit on the elbow. Is he going to be healthy enough to continue? And then are they going to get some help up front on offense when they play the better pass rushing defenses? I don't know, but I don't know, man. The Chargers are so banged up. They could have fallen in right back into the AFC West. Yep.
Yeah. And there's no doubt. And JB with that, getting Worthy back, you can see makes a difference because it gives you bandwidth. And then Rice too. We probably, with an Andy Reid team, we're probably overload our mouth with our ass a little bit too often, because you know what? He's never going away. When you got the guy under center, regardless how you feel, and you got the guy on the sidelines and the other guy who is a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator, period.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think Hollywood
game plans are brilliant.
Hollywood Brown's not getting enough credit.
They got three now, JB, when they're fully healthy. And Kelsey looked a little rejuvenated last night.
And Juju, if you notice, he's using him. A kid I coach out here in Long Beach, kid, he's using him more as like a H-back hybrid tight end. He's so big that you can put him as another type of H-back tight end type of guy in the slot.
They realize he's no longer the X and Z guy, that you got to move him so you can get maximized whatever you're maximizing. JB, great stuff. You can get him at the real coach _ JB every single Monday, and the JB. Coach JB show every single morning. JB, what time does it start? East Coast time for live for you guys.
9 a.m. Eastern.
Six on the Pacific Coast in the Central time zone, obviously. That's 8 o'clock. JB, great stuff, brother. I love you, and good job. And you know what? Take the Trojans and stuff it up your ass. We played a good game last week, okay? Give us some credit for one week. Cut him off.
See? Go Bruins.
Love you, brother. Good stuff.
Hey, all right, brother.
That's at the real coach _ JB. Let's bring Sags back in. I'll turn it over to you, Sags. Let me echo the sentiments real quick, and you can go where we started. But I got a problem, a big one. I'll always rally around a guy who has hit rock bottom and knows it. But when he's in the rock bottom and his team is looking to, instead of dig a hole deeper in rock bottom with a shovel, you start to dig a hole on the side so you can climb the fuck out.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Tua, this was a monumental on a crappy ass non-physical team, there's a time, Segs, to kick a guy's ass and a team. But this is one thing you never do as a quarterback. Ever. That's the quickest way to lose respect. Overloading his mouth with his ass. He can't get him back, Segs. 400-yard games ain't going to do it, because you know what they're worried about now? The deep substance. What happens if we lose the game again? What happens if I show up late? Is he going to start naming me? Now, I don't agree. If they're doing that, then Mike McDaniels better get his ass in gear, Mike McDaniel, and they better check him, because if nobody's checking him, that's a strictly coaching game. If you're allowing it, you're either doing one thing. You're either stopping it or you're letting it happen.
Right.
And if they're letting that happen, then that's a Mike McDaniel thing that he's got to get handled behind the scenes. The last thing a guy needs to do is stand up at the podium and give it a they. We got guys. But I also know another. We got guys turning the ball over and can't win in cold weather. And that guy's making 50-plus million. This was a monumental leadership. It's leadership 101, just like in business 101. What is it, Segs? Buy low, sell high. If that's all the business instructor tells you and you never learn anything else, buy low, sell high. It's the same thing here. Listen, no matter when you're going good, give everybody credit. When you're going bad, take all the blame at that position. And you'll – because the guys in the building know who's fucking up. The guys in the building know who's late. It doesn't really matter what the person on social media thinks down the street. And now you know what they think? You're a chicken shit sellout. And if they think that on the street, what do you think? What do you think the guy sitting in the locker room, the right guard, are thinking? You just can't. And here's the saddest part. The two biggest leadership positions in the planet – in a locker room and an NFL college high school are your head coach and your quarterback. And both of them fail the test. And you wonder why the Miami Dolphins can't beat the Miami Hurricanes. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, and Coach JB said it. The Jets are so bad that they're looking at 0-17. The only reason they may not go on 0-17 is because the Dolphins are in their division and they get to play them again. That's the only reason that might keep them from going 0-17, because the Dolphins are a disaster.
They are a pathetic watch, are the Jets, dude. A pathetic
watch. When you're talking about the Dolphins, they're kind of like my second team. My dad loves the Dolphins, so I grew up kind of just following them.
I about your pop.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I root for them, but I just follow them a little closer. And it's just sad state of affairs right now down in Miami, because McDaniel doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he came in with such I thought, potential to continue to grow as a play caller, as an offensive mind. And it's only gone backwards. Like, it's like you gave him too much. A head coach is too much for him. He's one of those guys that he just, it's too much for him to go from right there. But yeah, Tua is, that was bullshit yesterday. That was worse than what Brian Branch did. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But I mean, Tua selling out your team like that when you suck week in and week out.
Yep.
I mean, Dolphins have to start looking for a quarterback. You have to look in the draft next year.
Well, I know Quinn Ewers is going to have to start a game here. Some coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you turn it over to him, just see what you have and just kind of go from there. But Tua's got one more year. You got to keep him for 26 because of all the contract stuff. But, you know, maybe if you're just that bad, there's already talk about them trading Bradley Chubb or and so on, other veterans. Maybe you just start trading everybody, building up draft capital, eat the money next year.
Turn it into a fire sale, right?
Fire sale. Eat all the money on Tua next year just to get him out of your building and just go on from there.
And go hire Brian Flores and actually bring toughness back to what you let go in the first place. Right. I got to say, we're talking about leadership. My name's on this show. You're part of the locker room with me. And are this great team, Triple E. I got to stand up and apologize and take blame, man, for one thing big. And it slipped me because, you know, when you're going through reeling off names, of teams in college that you say, you know, this team's going good. And I've given this team this school a ton of respect this year. Matter of fact, on Friday I did when we were talking about games this weekend and teams that are impact. I've also talked about this team on stay tuned over the next year or two as they continue to spend. Well, a good friend of mine who's also part of companies that advertise, and he's one of my best friends on the planet. He sent me a string of texts that say, well, we'll leave it out because he's my boy.
Yeah.
But he's right. I got to stand up as a leader and say, my bad, I missed. Because you know what I'm saying? We're talking about Miami and Ohio State and Indiana. You know who we left out? He said, I'm going to jump through this effing screen to get to you because he's my dog. But he's right. So as a leader, this is not Sage. It's not Jamie. This is on me because I actually got caught up in selfish on my Trojans because they were so physical. But you know who we left out that they're not even close yet to being who they're going to be with the way they spend, the friggin' culture of the head coach, the way they're doing, the university, former alum that are players that are heavily involved in raising the money for NIL, and they're doing it. Matter of fact, this is the best it gets since Mike Leach is Texas Tech. So I stand up, I bow my head, I tip my hat, even though my hair is all fucked up, to my guy. I'm going to, and you know what? I deserve to be cussed out more than that, more than I got cussed out. And he's right. Defense is playing great football. He said, this is a disgrace, you mother scratcher, is what he called me, because we went through. But you know what? You know, great leadership isn't blaming, you know, JB, you said all those. You didn't say it's on me because I've given Texas Tech a ton of love. And at the wrong time when he's doing it, I didn't give him love. Texas Tech belongs in our mentions. Look where they are. When's the last time they're here? Leach, right? They're impactful on how they spend. They're doing it smartly. The coach has got them playing off the charts. And defensively, they're knocking your dick in the dirt. I stand up and bow and say, I'm sorry to you, brother. Texas Tech belongs in the conversation. Now, just give me another $1 million of sponsorship money since I kissed your ass and told you how great it is. Or I'll borrow. Put me on the NIL Texas Tech program. But he's right. My man, you are 100% right. It was a disgrace, not even a mention. And I love you. I only saw the last text, the first text, when I looked down, it said I was going to jump through the screen. I thought he was going to talk about how great we were and talk about how, better leadership in Miami and the Jets. I owe him. Texas Tech belongs. If we're talking about Indiana, we got to talk about Texas Tech. Fair? Is that fair? I think it is. My man, and BC is what I call him. You know that you are 100% correct. The next meal's on me. And now that I've done that and put the Red Raiders, Texas Tech everywhere, I can't wait to extend this relationship for the next 5 years. I love him. My friend first, business guy second. He's 100% correct. So as a leader, I take full responsibility, Sags.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Texas Tech hasn't beaten anybody yet. And they don't play anybody. That's the problem.
Sags, guess what? You're not getting delivered to your door. I confess, BC. I confess that Adam Sager said that.
Now it's on me. I'll take that. No, I mean they beat a decent Utah team, And they beat them up bad. That's what I like about Texas Tech.
Well, they were actually more physical than a physical Utah team, right?
They're not just beating, you know, yesterday they played Kansas and the game was kind of close. And then it was like, okay, now we're going to step on your throat and beat you. 42-13, I think, was the final. And I guess it's not even a problem. It's their schedule. You play your schedule. Yeah, they didn't, you know, their out of conference games are nothing, but they're beating everybody that's put in front of them right now. And they're going to, because the only tough game they really have left is BYU. When I just pulled up the schedule.
They are damn good, dude.
Yeah, so they got Arizona State's interesting, but they're not as good as we thought they were going to be. Oklahoma State, bad. Kansas State, not any good. BYU, that'll be a good, tough game. And then UCF and West Virginia. That's the rest of their schedule. They're sitting 6-0. We could be looking at a fully undefeated team going into the college football playoff.
They're going to the playoff.
But now you got to face Alabama or something like that. That, you know, it's not BYU. It's not, you know, Utah. It's much, much, much better. So that's where I guess I'm still just going to wait and see.
Okay.
This Tech.
But the way they're winning is pretty impressive, and the way they're building it, Segs, is impressive right now as any team in the country. The way they've shifted the narrative on how they approach NIL. Culture in the building. It's the best they've had since Leach, and it's been an impressive watch.
Defense has played out of their minds. They've played really good. I just need to see them beat somebody.
Well, I'll tell you what, Billy Bob Thornton, West Texas Landman, that's how they're treating this program. So, BC, my man, bro, you are 100% correct, brother.
We need a segment soon of just how good Landman is.
Oh, dude, that show. But I've been hanging on a thread waiting for that stuff to come back out.
I just watched the show on TV again because
to get ready for season two. Isn't that a November release? Aren't they releasing it pretty quick?
I want to say early November.
November? Yes. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I had that show right now to me, and there's some good ones. That show is right now, it's can't miss, pay extra for it type of television. So what else on your mind, my man?
Let's go back real quick to James Franklin. I mean, I'm one. We put up the poll question. We'll hit the poll question real fast. Let's go back last week. I saw our poll question on Friday. If you could watch NFL or college the rest of your life, which would it be? Where'd it go? There it is. NFL wins by 1 percentage point, 50.5 to 49.5.
So what's that end up being? Like two votes or something? Something like that?
It was a lot. Yeah. So that was interesting to me.
That's damn near as close as it's going to get when you put a poll question up.
Right. Yeah, you can't get any closer than that. And then today, our poll question is, should Penn State have fired James Franklin? And I think it's just, to me, it's a resounding yes. Yes, he was great. He beat up on bad teams all the time. Congrats. That's what you're supposed to do at a powerhouse school like Penn State. But you went 0-15 against the top five teams when they were there. 4-21 versus the top 10. You had 3 wins against Michigan and Ohio State and 17 losses. So you were getting your ass kicked by the top teams in the Big Ten. You were getting your ass kicked by the top five. You never won a big game. And then you go on, you lose to UCLA, who's terrible. And then you go on and lose to Northwestern, who's terrible. First coach ever to lose back-to-back games as 20-point favorites.
I would have bet, and I didn't. I almost did. No, Northwestern's played some pretty cagey football, but on the road, after what happened to Penn State, I would have bet. I didn't bet this game, but if you said you have to bet, I'd have bet 10 grand that Penn State was going to win a game, JB. I really would have. Let me tell you how I feel about this. I think we're at a time when we – quit on people and coaches too soon. This wasn't too soon. Don't misunderstand me. I'm looking. Not only that, but James Franklin's a good coach, but good and great are different, just like good and average are. There's a big spread in between the great ones to the good ones, right? A lot of good ones, but there's a handful of great ones. Can recruit, done it all. But the bark was a lot bigger than the bite against good teams. You can't survive it at programs. 9 wins at Penn State, 10 wins, and losing to good teams but beating up on bad teams, you can't sustain it there. Their expectations are higher in Happy Valley, and they should be. So he's had time to get this right. He is a horrendous big game coach. I'm just sorry. His team does not play good in big games. That's evidence. This isn't kind of, that's a fact. They're just not good. And when it comes to big games, and they don't win them when it's nut cutting time in big moments. I'm just asking the question, judging from what purpose does it serve to make the change now? Does it help recruiting? No, because you're going to have an interim coach that's going to get fired. Wow.
They've already lost their top four recruits over the next couple cycles.
Right. So through this, you're saying, okay, yes. And so you say, now, if you said during a season, I can go out and get, the guy that you're going to get when the season's over and he can come in and start being instead. Hey, you could tease him. And hell, if that's the case, you got an interim coach here now. Say, guess what? Urban Meyer is going to be our head coach next
right,
year.
Right.
And we hired him, but we're not going to start till 2026. Those four recruits may damn well come back. That's how you want to save it. But I'm only saying this from a optic standpoint. Listen, when you don't win big games and you're at Penn State and you're not winning a national title, but you're it's nice. You're selling out. There's 95,000 people all the time, but you're losing. And now they're losing to teams that they shouldn't lose to. That tells me the locker room's lost and James Franklin's speech is old in the lot. It just is. Now he'll get another job, I would imagine, and he'll go coach and he'll help somebody. And he's been successful at all levels. But success at Penn State's winning a national title and playing in the championship game. But I'm just sitting here saying, okay, does it serve a purpose in October to fire him? Because now you're going to have three coaches in a two-month period. They're going to have a third coach. The interim coach is not getting hired as head coach. Right. I'm just telling you guys that now. So now, if you could, the expertise for me, and if the interim coach doesn't like that they hired a head coach while you're the interim head coach, you better get over it, dude. You're the interim. All you're doing now is auditioning to go get a head coaching job somewhere else. Sorry, it's our program. I owe the dude 50 or 60 million bucks, whatever it is that I still owe James Franklin. You're an interim coach. All this is you're the backup getting a few snaps. You're getting some chance to prove to some other program that you're worthy of being a head coach.
Right.
Oregon State. You're great here. Maybe Oregon State hires you, right? Yeah. Great. That's one thing. But you want to do it, Sags? And I'm just telling you right now, if I was firing James Franklin, I would already have the plan in place of the guy. I would have negotiated, said, I'm just using Urban Meyer as an example. We'll pay you $15 million a year, whatever they're paying, $100 million for 6 years, whatever it is, to be the head coach of Penn State. And I'm announcing you're starting in 2026. You can start to oversee the program and start to see who you got. You're starting January when the season's over and Penn State's done. You're the head coach. And here's your 10 or 15 million bucks a year. And I would announce it because I would get out in front of the recruiting now. He's your head coach. Now those guys are like, that's the way I do it. If I'm going to have an interim coach, my plan's already in mind. Now, I don't know. I don't think there's NC2A rules on I can go hire somebody. I don't think.
No, as long as you don't have a job.
Right. You go get him. You're not tampering with anybody.
Right.
I would hire him and I would let God in the world know as loud as possible. That's when I'm firing. I just don't know what purpose it is. Okay, so even if you go on a run, Segs, what are they going to do? They go on a run and win 8 games? Great. And the interim coach is out of a job? Now, if your buddy – I don't think their plan is, let's do the interim coach a favor. I want to give him 7 games or 6 games so he can go get a new job. That's just going to be on him. That's the only question. Not the timing. James Franklin's fine. Don't worry about him. He's $60 million fine, plus whatever he's already made. But – and the program needed a facelift. They just did. But if you're going to do that, I would have already had Urban Meyer or whoever that guy is going to be our head coach. And here's what he's paying. This is the interim coach. And they're going to go and play for him. And then, boom. And watch how the program and the narrative of the program shifts on a dime. I would have done it that way. I just don't know the purpose it serves in hiring an interim coach. It's the same staff doing the same shit they were doing that didn't win games anyway. So all of a sudden, they're going to become heroes. And what's Aller's situation?
Out for the season.
There you go. Done. Yep. So a guy, and he, you talk about average, and I hate to see a guy get hurt, but the performance told, that guy's not a top 3 round pick. Okay. He just not. Right. And I hate that he got hurt, but he's not. So once again, quarterback coach underperform, coach gets fired. Now he's going to make plenty of money. But I would have had a plan in mind already, and maybe they do, but I'd announce it sooner to save recruits from leaving that program because it's a hell of a program.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the recruiting and stuff and just the timing of it, I think it just comes down to you can kind of control the narrative. There's not this cloud, this dark cloud hanging over the program for the next
where it's miserable to come in the building for everybody And then the transfer portal, those guys just leave, right?
Exactly. So you're trying to show your kids that are in-house right now that, hey, we're going to get this fixed. Yeah, maybe it's not Urban Meyer. Maybe it's not, you know, Nick Saban. Maybe it's not this huge name. But you can control the narrative. You can throw out – you could throw out Kurt Cignetti's name for the next 8 weeks through back channels. And yeah, maybe he's not going to take it, and I don't think he does. I don't think he leaves – if he leaves Indiana – he's going to be the next guy that everybody looks at and says,
I'd offer it. I'd offer the day.
100%.
Did he use Indiana as a bridge, right? Well, he doesn't want that on him, right?
So like, oh, we're not, I'm not leaving. I'm building this. He's been talking that for the last month.
You mean you're waiting for a guy to finally not leave when he says he's not going to leave, right?
Exactly. So, but maybe it is Kurt Cignetti. We've heard Matt Rhule's name from Nebraska. We've heard, Manny Diaz, who was the defensive coordinator at Penn State. He's now at Duke.
Are those upgrades, though? Are they, Segs, head coaching upgrades?
I don't know if they're upgrades, but they're different than James Franklin because the James Franklin story had gone dry, or that well had run dry.
Yeah, I'm talking about, Franklin, it's time to move on. Fair enough. We decide, whether it's the timing or what purpose to serve. It serves the purpose of transfer portal recruits and that he's lost the whole building. Okay, and you can see it during the game. He actually looked wompy jawed during the game when they show him on the side. It almost looked like he knew he was getting fired. I'm being honest with you. So I like Matt Rhule, good coach. Mm-hmm. And I like Manny Diaz, hell of a defensive coach. But my question is not the upgrade from moving on from, as a Penn State program, not the upgrade from moving on from James Franklin to Manny or Matt Rhule. Has Rhule done enough for you at Nebraska to change that program? You say he's the Penn State guy. Has Manny Diaz done enough when he was a head coach in Miami or and his defense coordinator, Texas and other places where he's at now to as a head coach to elevate that? Good coach. And at Duke, and Manny's got him playing well, and he's a good coach. And Manny was at ESPN as a production assistant at one point. And then he goes, really? Defense coordinator, love football. So, but with this, Eggs, I ask you this. The splash, this is Penn State. This is Ohio State. This is Michigan. This is Southern Cal. This is LSU. This is one of the, 15 best jobs in sports, college sports? Got to be, right? Oregon, you got to put them in the category. If that's the case, are you making the splash you want? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Eli's got to be in the conversation at Missouri. Absolutely has to be.
That's the guy.
He has to be in it. Written down. Those two guys near the end. Urban Meyer is going to be in every college coach program's responsibility. But at least he's going to be in the – they're going to at least, I would imagine, make a phone call.
He'll be mentioned, yes.
Right. But Eli Cignetti, they've got to be in the conversation because I've seen results of Matt Campbell's name, even though they went through this loss. He's been a guy in the past that was a hot name, right? Segs it. Mm-hmm. He was, and he lost it, and then last year guys started to get it back again. But – I'm the call to Missouri's going in, and I know Eli's got a good thing there, but just the recruiting grounds at Penn State are just going to give you a place because it's a prime program.
This literally just crossed my mind within the last 10 seconds. What if you're Penn State, and you're throwing these names out there, all these names we're talking about, you're putting out there through back channels into the media.
Segs, Paterno can't coach him anymore.
No. No, we don't need any more of that.
But as you would say, why not say, he's dead.
He is dead. Yes, he is passed.
Well, you don't want the program to die, so you got to find. So I'm going to call my guy Blackledge. Just hire my guy Blackledge. Make him that.
Yeah, he still drives me a little nuts on when he calls a game, and he was calling our game, and he just, I don't know. There's something about that guy that just ekes me.
I love Ledge, dude.
I think he's good at what he does. He just sometimes he's just. I don't know. It seems like he kind of forgets what he's talking about. And then he's just on a whole nother path. And you're kind of like, come back. And then he's back. And then you're like, okay, we're good. But anyways, what if you're Penn State and you're throwing out all these names, but in reality, there's one name you circled that you're kind of waiting to see what happens. And it may be time for him to get out of his situation. Just like we saw with James Franklin.
Okay, this guy's give me a portion of the country before you tell me. Give me a portion of the country. What area of the country? You don't have to give me the conference. Give me the area of the country. So I'll
it'd be Southeast.
Southeast. You're not talking about, is it the Canes or is it the Florida State? Neither one of those, no. Right? No. Okay, southeastern portion of the country. Oh, but you're not talking about Kirby Smart, are you?
No. Okay. No, I don't think that.
I wouldn't leave there.
Yeah. No.
Southeast. Okay, is it an SEC school?
No.
Okay, so it's not Lane Kiffin. I wouldn't leave there either. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't do
that. Gosh, dang. Brian Kelly, LSU. No, that's a good gig. Who am I missing? Who am I? It's not an SEC team.
You're waiting to see what happens with him the rest of the season. We've talked
is
about
it. Is he coaching in college or NFL?
College.
SEC? No. What conference?
ACC.
Oh, you mean a guy that might have been targeted for Alabama at one point in time?
Yes.
Dabo.
There's your upgrade. There's your national champion.
There's your energy.
Winning head coach.
Would you do it? Would you do it if you're him? Can you be bought? Would you leave Clemson for Penn State? More historic program. More blue blood. Yeah. You would?
I would.
Why?
I would. I am not like if it was. Let's just say he was at Alabama. His alma mater, all that stuff. No, obviously you don't leave your alma mater, that type of thing. Clemson, he's just been there a long time. Yes, he won national titles there. Yes, but what's it also doing? That well is starting to run dry.
You think because he's not the NIL guy, you think his speech is starting to get a little old too there?
Yeah, and Penn State's got the money to come in. The Big Ten is now looked at next to the SEC in terms of conferences.
He's going to a more held in high regard conference.
Yes, the Big 12 is. They're both kind of sitting underneath the other two conferences. So if you're Penn State, Dabo Sweeney, and they may do it for you and fire him if things continue to go bad. You go there, recruit.
Well, if that happens, you've got to go after Dabo.
Yes, you have to. The young quarterback and the Gronkenmeyer kid who's going to start the rest of the season. So now you kind of, if you're Dabo and you think, okay, maybe this makes sense, you get to watch him from afar and just see kind of what he's like on the field, see what kind of competitor he is, especially in this situation where you have an interim head coach.
You're going to find out who the players and what their commitment is because they're getting their ass kicked. You'll find out their level of character and what they're committed to.
Yes. I can tell you that. And if that name were to pop up at some point, let's just say week 10, all of a sudden Clemson's been bad. There's talk of firing them. And all of a sudden we start hearing whispers of Dabo Sweeney and Penn State. And if you're a big time recruit, which they've lost a few over the last couple of days, if you have not committed somewhere else and you're still just open, then you say, okay, Dabo Sweeney to Penn State, a powerhouse that can compete with Ohio State and Michigan and USC in that conference. Plus the big boys in the SEC. Yeah, does it make sense for me to come back to Penn State with Dabo Sweeney as a head coach? They at least have to think about it. So, I mean, maybe that's
interesting dynamic right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've already heard the Dabo press conference. They don't want me. I'm pretty good.
Right. How long since Clemson won a national title with Trevor Lawrence?
He's been in the league, 5 years now, and they won it.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Was it his freshman or sophomore year? What's it, half a dozen, 7 years or so? Maybe six, seven years, something like that?
So it's not like he's coming off a national title, 2 years ago, and this is just a bad season. They're ready to reset. And maybe they are there in Clemson, maybe. But with the way things seem and the losses earlier this season and – Klubnik not playing well, like everybody had him projected as the number one pick. There's just a lot to consider when it's Penn State, Clemson, and Dabo Sweeney. I think that's the guy that you look at and you say, there's a clear upgrade over James Franklin is Dabo Sweeney.
My question too, and normally guys, because the Mondays will be hard because of the timing.
Yeah.
Our 12:40 segment where we're going to get to you guys. And we got some things we want to get to that are not time sensitive. We can push to tomorrow. We'll have a couple more, but we can add. Let me answer one of these real quick, Segs, because we want to dedicate 12:40 to you guys, 10 minutes a day minimum, so we can get you guys. I know we do it while we're talking, but we want it to be your segment. And you could even send them to us, tag us on Twitter, and we'll bring it up the next day if you can't make the show that day. Although, if you're doing anything else other than saving lives or having a child, you damn well better be watching the show.
Yeah, 100%.
But here's where I agree with, and this is my question, and Dr. J put it up there. More evidence that Dabo is committed to adjust to college football. That's a very good point.
Yep.
Will he embrace, will he go Mike Krzyzewski and embrace one and done like Calipari was always sold on to take it to another level? Because you're just going to have to. The rules say you can. And old school say, yeah, well, guess what? I that's not how we do it here. Well, then you're going to keep winning 9 games or 8 games and you're going to lose out. Look at Texas Tech. This isn't by chance. You change the culture in the building and you put a little more money in people's pocket, that kind of turns them on and they play better. So that's part of it. It's not the whole thing. Part of it to do that. So I, too, wonder, can he get out of his own way like we ask players to do and embrace the fact that he's got to do this? And Isaiah, another one, you got a great thing cooking. Mizzou or Cignetti at Indiana, whether it's, you know, Eli or Cignetti. Sometimes guys jump too soon, and sometimes guys know the truth of the matter is on a consistent basis. Now, maybe Cignetti and Eli are going to change that, but it's so hard if you're limited, and Indiana and Mizzou are going to be limited on recruiting. Yes. Unless you're going to pay more money than Texas Tech is, you're going to be limited in this day and age. That's just the reality of it on your recruiting grounds and how much you're willing and is the program willing to pour in. They got money, but are they willing to pour it in? Good alumni at both places. So that's the temptation, Isaiah. You say you got a great thing. And as Segs mentioned earlier, and it's so profound and right, is you tell us you're not going, and the second somebody offers you $3 million. And most coaches can be bought. I get it. And I understand because your family, you're looking out. But if the difference is you love what you're doing at Missouri and you say, I'm staying here, and they offer you $1 million more, and it's not the money, then you got to say, who gives me the best chance to be a national championship coach? And why wouldn't you want that? Of course, that's why you do it. But then there's also sometimes when you leave, the grass is not greener. So you got to make sure if you're going to water Penn State's grass and they're watering it for you and they're going to open up, because that would be, hell, like a player nowadays, Segs, you're getting recruited. I'm recruiting your kid. Mm-hmm. And he comes, not yours, but you get my point.
Yeah.
In the first three questions, they're going to ask, what's this? How much is he going to make? They just are. Or the parent, they just are. It's the same thing here. My first question, if all of a sudden somebody calls me up and says, Sean, coordinator, head coach, you know what I'm asking? I'm saying, in my first three questions, I'm saying, what's the commitment to paying? Yeah. What's our NIL going to, and our commitment to jumping in the portal to go get other players? Where are we at with that? And if you can't give me an answer, I ain't leaving, because right now Indiana and Missouri can kick Penn State's ass on any given Saturday.
Yes.
They can. And a lot of that has to do with those coaches, because I do believe their message is loud and clear and they've sent it and their players are responding. The biggest thing you got to have as a coach, Segs, aside from money, commitment from the institution, buy-in from the players. And I can promise you this, Cignetti and Eli have buy-in from their players at their current universities.
100%. Yeah, and you just look at Penn State. I mean, this is a school that just threw $50 to $56 million.
They did what A&M did. They threw it
go away.
Yes.
So I mean, if you don't think, I know, as Isaiah said, and I saw yesterday, Mark Cuban's getting involved with Indiana Athletics, and Mizzou's got a couple people that are willing to pay. I mean, I don't think Mark Cuban is throwing $56 million down to tell his coach to go away.
No, there's a reason billionaires stay billionaires and millionaires get to be millionaires. They know where every dollar's going, and they ain't spending it frivolously, at least in their – they may have 27 houses, Segs, but they ain't giving $56 million away to a guy. They're kicking out the building.
Okay? And I'm telling you right now, that is why I love the fact that Michigan, their big donor, Larry Ellison, who is now by some the richest man in the world. And he's not a Michigan guy.
The wife is, right?
It's the wife. Yeah. It's the Michigan alum. Because you're not telling Mama no.
He's not an idiot. $12 million, great. Drop $12 million than $3 billion in a divorce, right?
If she wants to throw down $12 million on Bryce Underwood, you say yes and you just eat it.
Dude, I gotta make a buy. I said, well, yeah, Larry Ellison's wife's from Michigan, and obviously. And I said, well, you get $3 billion in divorce. I can't cheat her out of the other $27 million she'd make in a divorce, because he's worth far more than $10 billion. We're talking way up there.
And pretty sure Forbes had him at number one.
Oh, he's in the Bezos
Musk,
where it's a couple $100 million, $300 or $400 million. I mean,
different tier.
They're in the tier that you couldn't spend it. Well, the second coming will happen before he can spend all his money. And so, Dr. J, you're right. One thing I've always said too about this, Stanford, They got a $50 million gift. Here's the deal. If the academias will get out of the way just a little bit at Stanford, because they got more money now, the Larry Ellisons of the world, dude.
Right.
Stanford Business School has produced those dudes. If they really wanted to go all Texas Tech or that kind on them, Sigs, and right. like UT and A&M, they could actually, we'll see and we'll raise you. I mean, there's a lot of coin up there in that area. And if Stanford can take that $50 million, it's not just given to the academic part of the school or
right.
the fundraising. It's part of that's going strict. Somebody come and say, here's $100 million. Put that in the athletic department. Stanford will win quickly because I can tell you one thing they don't get is stupid players. Okay. Right. They get smart players, and maybe Andrew Luck can continue to spearhead more money being raised. But yeah, Larry Ellison's not stupid, Segs. You're married. When mama says $12 million is a tip money, you're given $12 million to get your program better. And we know, just admit it and move forward.
But it's just this new way of college football. And that's why I think with the money, with the NIL stuff, the contracts that you can kind of just give these players now when they come in, you have to, if you're the NCAA or a new governing body of all these teams, you have to fix this transfer portal thing. It can't be a free-for-all every single year. You get one transfer, one, that's it. And if you use it and you go somewhere else and they give you $10 million, let's just say, over the next 2 to 3 years that you spend, fine, you get that one time. You don't get a second one. You can't not transfer. And if they do that, I think it brings the NIL craziness down some, and then we start looking more like college football of the past.
I'm putting a salary cap on the money I can pay somebody in the portal so you can't – so if it brings the teams that don't have enough, at least you can eat – you can at least – it's a little bit
yes.
– because the truth is the people that are given the A&Ms, the big – those they're going to always have the chance to beat you to them. If at right. least you limit on the transfer portal and write how many because we're losing the identity of our players at our universities. There's right. no doubt it has to be regulated, Sex, because the quickest way to bury it is what they're doing. Because
yes.
5 years ago, the poll might have been different. This college football NFL yes. poll we had yesterday might have been.
Oh, I think it'd be much more
bigger
college.
Discrepancy heading towards college football. Yes. But it's so pro-like. But well, if we're going to do it pro-like, guess what they have in the pros? That is a salary cap.
Salary.
If you really want to control it so somebody can't just bury you into submission because, well, Elon Musk has money and he loves Texas right. and he wants to give $1 billion to the – I mean, there's got to be some sense of sanity. But we're never going back to the way we were. We just got to stop going to where we're headed. And, yes. Lucy, yes, you heard dogs. Front door was being knocked on, and I got three of them that will let everybody know that they're okay with the salary cap as well.
Yes, yes. It's a new world in college sports. We'll talk about Brian Branch and that stuff tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We got plenty to talk about tomorrow. More Alabama looked good. Indiana, as we've talked about, looked good. We'll talk about more college football and NFL tomorrow. But to end the show, we got Bills at Falcons tonight. Bills -3.5 with a 49.5 over under. This one feels like an under. Like, not, I don't want to say guaranteed, but a guarantee under, in my opinion, with that one. When the Bills -3.5, I still like Buffalo as well. How about you?
I like Buffalo too a lot, Segs, but this has been one of those weird ass weekends, man. It's been one of those you're like, is this going to happen? But the truth is, Buffalo is just a better team. This is a touchdown win by Buffalo. Buffalo wins this game. Doesn't matter where it's played. I got Buffalo and Josh Allen, Buffalo to get back and proving that they're a top notch team in this. Yes. Give me the Bills by more, and I'd lay the points, no doubt.
Do you like the under more? 49.5 seems like a lot.
Oh, you're taking the under? I'll go the over. I'll take. Right. How did we do in NFL yesterday? I don't even remember. How did we do? The receipts. I know I was 2-1. Forget the over under. I'm just talking about picks. I got SC, and we picked a lot of the same.
SC and Bama.
And I got both of those, and I lost.
Which NFL, one did we get our ass you had the Rams and Bucks, right? I had the Rams and Bucks as well. We both picked the Lions, which we'll talk about that tomorrow. The Lions laid an egg.
I do want to expand on who are the Kansas City Chiefs, and have we yes. buried them too early before last night? And then the one in college, Segs, that we lost. What did I have the one in college?
And
Cal, right? And Bama,
Oregon.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Oregon. So two and one on both. So 4-2 over the weekend, which is you won't go broke taking that profit. Right.
And then we do have Bears at Commanders as well. We have Monday night doubleheader. Commanders a 5.5 point favorite with the same 49.5.
I'm taking Chicago. Are you like giving me the points? Okay. I think Washington's going to win the game, but I think this is a field goal game. I think the Bears' toughness, and I think that we're still want, you know, McLaurin's out. He's out playing. I don't think Segs. I'm pretty sure he's out for at least another week. Out. And remember, we're still working Jaden Daniels back into his from last week to this week. I'm going to say Washington wins in a close one, but you're giving me those that many points. I think it's a field goal type game, 3.5 points. I would take the Bears in this game, even though it's on the road, if I'm not mistaken. They're in Washington, right? Yeah. I like the dog in this one when it comes to the points.
I got the Bears, and I got the over. I think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. Chicago's defense.
I got the over in both games. I got the over in both.
Okay. Chicago's defense is getting a lot of pieces back tonight with Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards, amongst others. Plus, they're supposedly going to have Colson Loveland on offense. I think this is an over game as well. It'll be interesting to see that Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams dynamic. Again, remember, this was the game last year that was the Hail Mary. That's how the Commanders beat the Bears last year.
Phenomenal finish, right. That's exactly right. You're thinking, when how does Tyreek this happen?
Stevenson was standing on the other side of the field, like waving his arms while the ball was in
celebrating.
The
air. Right, yeah. Yeah. Bad optics.
Yes, but he's played well this year, so it'll be an interesting game. I hope the Bears win, and I think it can be a really good game down to the end.
3 years from now, these are two of the guys we'll be talking about as MVP players in the league, Caleb Williams included. I do. His talent's that good. The question, does he match with all the other stuff? And Jaden's already arrived at his preparation and all that. Right. I think you're talking about two of the best young quarterbacks in the league. Skill set, both of them off the charts.
Yes.
Skill set. We'll see how it plays tonight. Can't wait to see both. This is a good doubleheader. If you're going to throw them at me, because Atlanta's got some sneaky talent, and you better control the run game. You better not let that guy go wild because he's pretty damn good.
Right.
And Bijan's healthy. He's playing tonight, right, Sex?
Yes.
I haven't seen anything.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
Right. So I'm anxious to see what their expansion is. They're off. They got to protect the ball. You give Josh Allen too many possessions, he'll destroy you. But
yes,
I'm taking the over in both. Give me the Bears and give me Buffalo with the points.
Okay. Interesting. I got the same teams, but I got the under in that Buffalo Atlanta game. You say you want to talk about the Chiefs and who really are they, especially as they get Rashee Rice back next week. I want to talk about the Colts, who continue to win, who continue to look good doing it. I think they are a serious kind of, I don't want to say dark horse title contender, because I don't know that I have them in that
range. Oh, I think they're real as MF.
They are trending towards, I think, a team that can – it's the way they play.
You know who it is in the NFC, Seg? You're exactly the team that's playing the same way is Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, yes.
I'm talking about Colt. They're playing well at the line of scrimmage. They're getting after you defensively. Their quarterbacks are making big plays, and they're running the football effectively. Hell, the Colts run it more than effective enough.
Yeah.
And their quarterbacks are doing different things. I got the number one thing we'll discuss more tomorrow. We talked about leadership with Tua, the 180-degree difference, the complete about-face is the way Baker Mayfield approaches his team. And if you ever want to look at what describes a guy and how he fits with a program or an NFL team, a college team, is go look at third quarter, 3rd-and-14, Tampa, and look at Mayfield. He didn't make it with some pretty play or throwing a post for a touchdown, which he did a little bit later on a great catch.
Yes.
At a beautiful drop in the bucket throw. That's fine. But the respect and leadership – go look up, say, show me Baker Mayfield's 3rd-and-14 play. And that will tell you exactly why he's the MVP of the league right now and exactly why those guys will run over, run around, but more importantly, run through a wall for him. He is at a different level than anybody else at that position leadership-wise. I mean, there's guys like Josh Allen and Mahomes that are in it, but nobody there was one play over the weekend that epitomized who a guy is. That was it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and I think we'll also talk tomorrow about stuff we're already hearing on the coaching with Mike McDaniel, with Aaron Glenn, with Callahan in Tennessee. Yep. We'll talk more about that as well. And then in college football, we'll get more into that. But Indiana, are they? I mean, Fernando Mendoza is a dude. He might be the number one pick in the draft.
He's a Sunday quarterback, and we'll discuss that.
He might be the number one pick in the draft.
And I'm glad Dr. J reminded us this to Fred Warner. It was gruesome. Yes. It was a brutal, it's a hard watch. And two, I think, is as good all around the best defensive player in football. There's guys that are pass rushers. There's no better leader on defense or better player. And the San Francisco 49ers, how they continue to have to deal with this is crazy. But more importantly, for Fred's full health and for what he means to the team and what he means as a human. And I know a lot of guys get hurt, but that was a gruesome look. I hope God bless you, brother, and heal quickly because it's important. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
Callahan. Tennessee's moved on from their head coach, and we'll discuss that tomorrow. Yeah. This is no surprise.
Can I say my favorite thing about the weekend was Tez Johnson, who caught that ball from Baker Mayfield, the little 150-pound wide receiver from Oregon, who as fast as can be.
Isn't he Bo Nix's stepbrother or brother? Lived with him, right?
Their family took him in and helped raise him. But after the game, he's being interviewed talking about his touchdown catch and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, I heard chance for MVP. And I was like, whoa, guys, not yet. And they had to tell him that it was for Baker.
That's a great point. He got such great energy too, Sags. You know what I'm saying? And oh, by the way, Tampa did that with their fourth and fifth receivers making plays in the game.
Yeah.
You see his front flip? You want to talk about some athleticism. After running all that time, dude, I'd have needed an oxygen tank. Well, and then you make a spectacular fingertip catch and then celebrate. And then you say, when they're chanting MVP, it might be a little premature for me as the wide receiver. Great line, man.
When you are 150 pounds, you got to be soaking wet to be 150 pounds and you're that athletic, you better be able to do some flips.
Yeah, like, and when you're that little. Stick the landing like he did. Yeah. It was impressive. Yes.
So no, we got a ton to talk about tomorrow. We'll be back right at noon Central, 1 Eastern. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Coach JB, who's great as always. A little crazy. Hates your Trojans. Hates my
Wolverines. Yeah, I couldn't even give credit. Hell with Jay now. Yeah, I get it. But I get why it's a holding pattern to see if that's who they are. Because we saw Illinois and we wonder if that's who they are. Then we saw Michigan. Now I got to see as they move on Notre Dame and beyond. Just who they are. And Notre Dame's next weekend. So that'll be interesting to see.
And it's why we can't just take one game and be like, oh, this is what this team is. Oh, this is what this team is.
Amen.
It's the whole body of work that you have to take into account. So,
no doubt. All right,
we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Make sure you tune in. 12:40. Get your questions in. We will start taking them every time. 12:40.
We're 12 Central Live. Yeah, that's right.
1:40 Eastern. So, all right, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.